In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Christ is born.
Glory.
On Christmas evening and morning, the angel appeared to the shepherds, and they told the shepherds this. They said, "This shall be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." For many of us, I know it is for me, it is sometimes a temptation for us not to listen completely, fully to the reading of the gospel during liturgy, especially when it is a gospel like today's story of the birth of Christ, which we have heard probably hundreds of times before. It can be almost like getting back on a bike for the first time or driving a car. We can sort of put ourselves on automatic pilot, and we can listen just enough to pay attention to get the gist of what's going on, and somehow we get to the end and we get to our destination. And this happens because we all know the Christmas story. We may or may not be moved by the story of the Christ child being born in a cave and placed in a manger of dumb beasts. We all know the story of how this child grew up. And he grew up to preach the gospel of righteousness and peace, but he was rejected by his own people. And later, he was crucified between two thieves. We all know how he arose from the dead on the third day and ascended into the heavens, back to the Father after 40 days. So as Christians, we are all so familiar with this gospel that we might actually miss the awesomeness and the utterly incomprehensible message that God became man. What an incredibly and ridiculous message that was to the observant Jew of the day of Christ. God became man. Not only was it ridiculous, it was blasphemous. Almighty God becoming man? That's unthinkable. The eternal Word becoming a helpless baby, pooping in his diapers? Blasphemies! Blasphemy! And that's what it was like to the people of his time. But yet, for us, that is the core message of our Christian gospel. As St. John says in the prologue of his first chapter of his gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now that was hard for the people to accept, his own people to accept, and later even some Christians who had accepted Christ couldn't fully accept the fact that he was fully man and was a real child in diapers, people like Arius and Nestorius. Matter of fact, that diaper quote comes from Nestorius. How could God be in diapers? You know. So even those who accepted Christ had some difficulty with that. But that's the essence of our gospel. St. Gregory the Wonder Worker was very clear in his Christmas sermon when he said that he was God and he was made man. He was not made God, since he always was God by his very nature, but he was made flesh so that he will become visible to everything that is created. That one whom even the angels in heaven dare not look upon chose as his habitation a manger. And when he came, all around him became still. For us to come to fully understand and grasp the audacity of this gospel, we have to remember the history of the Israelite man's relationship with God. And not just the Jews, but even the pagans as well, and mankind in general. A few months ago, I preached a sermon about the fear of God, and how when man encounters God in all of his majesty, his innate reaction to begin with is always fear. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. We are told in the book of Genesis that after God created man, in the Garden of Eden, God walked with man in the cool of the evening. There was a deep intimacy between God and man because that's what he had created them for. He had created them for the express purpose of sharing his glory with them and being intimate with them. But the moment that man ate of the forbidden fruit, the moment that he fell into sin, there was a rupture of that intimacy. Mankind was departed from God. A wall of separation became up between man and God. And what's the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned? They went and tried to hide themselves. That intimacy they had with God, that intimacy which they had with God, was no longer there, and they tried to hide themselves. Where before there had only been love, now there was fear. And after that, every encounter that man had with God was conducted in an atmosphere of fear and awe. Even when God was condescending to come down with Israel and seeking to make a covenant with Israel as his people, still that was done with an awesome degree of fear. We see magnificent things like the burning bush and the parting of the Red Sea and the crossing over of the Israelites. And Moses on Mount Sinai, after he'd been up there with God for 40 days, he comes down and his face, his own face, was still glowing with the radiance of God. He had to put a bag over his head so the people would be able just to look at him. The patriarchs heard the voices of God booming down from the heavens and they fell on their faces. When they carried the Ark of the Covenant through the desert for that 40 years, God had to put a cloud over that ark for the whole way as it traveled so that they couldn't, because they couldn't handle his glory. There was that element of fear. Even when God called the prophet Isaiah, who gave us all these prophecies about the birth of Christ, his first reaction was to cry out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a man of sinful lips and unclean lips." So we see how that since the fall of man, there has always been an element of fear. And when man encounters God, he begins to shake in his boots. So, now Paul says to the epistle to the Galatians, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might all receive adoption once again as sons," and then cry out, "Abba, Father." But how are we to go from quaking in our boots at the very thought of God to the point to where we can say unto God and call him Abba, Daddy? How are we to go from fear to that intimacy? And for that, God sends us a sign. And his sign is simplicity itself. God's sign is a baby. God's sign is that he makes himself small for us. He doesn't come with his power or with his splendor. He comes as a baby who is defenseless and who indeed needs our help just to get his food and just for his subsistence. He does not overwhelm us with his strength. He takes away our fear of his greatness. He asks for us love, the same as he did back in the Garden of Eden. He asks of us love, and so he makes himself a child. God makes himself small so that we could understand him, so that we can welcome him, so that we can love him. Because who does not love an infant child? Who does not love a baby? One of the things I love about this parish, about St. Simeon's Parish, is that we have become such a family that we pass off our kids. We lateral our kids off. We pitch them off like a football to the person around us. I look around and I see Mitchell, Lisa, holding children that are not theirs at this moment. So we hand off our kids to others, knowing that in this place there's nothing to fear, that they're going to be okay, that they're going to eventually get those children back safely in the end. Unless, of course, they end up in the hands of Rita Christopher back there, who is holding one at this very moment that's not his, and then you might have to pry it out of his hand and get it back. But that's the atmosphere of a family that we have here in this family today. We love our children. We all know the prophetic verse from Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us, "and he shall save his people from their sins." And everybody knows that verse. But there's a really somewhat obscure verse, also from the prophet Isaiah, which is actually almost meaningless in most of the English translations that come out of the Hebrew version of the church. But in the Greek translation, in the Septuagint translation, which is the translation the apostles use for the New Testament, and which is the official Old Testament of the Orthodox Church, the Greek Septuagint. In the Greek Septuagint, this verse from Isaiah says this: God made his word short. He abbreviated it. He made his word short. He abbreviated it. He made his logos, the Greek word for word. He made his logos short. He abbreviated the logos. The eternal logos, the word, became short and abbreviated. It became small, indeed, small enough to fit into a manger. He has become a child so that the world could grasp him, and also so that he could grasp us. About a week ago, we had the Akatha service here on a Wednesday night, and I was standing back there in the back as I usually do, and my knee was killing me, and I ended up having to sit down. And I believe it was one of the Similic little girls, the toddler, not the infant, but the toddler. She had been going around in circles and trying to get closer to me. As it got on, she'd get just close enough, and then she'd back away. But when I finally sat down, she toddled right over, and she grasped me by my finger. And for about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, she just held my finger, and I was kind of, with my thumb, I was sort of going in circles around her knuckles, and that seemed to mesmerize her. And I was mesmerized as well. And it is that kind of mesmerization, I guess, that Christ wanted, or that God the Father wanted, by sending us his Son as a little child, to mesmerize us, to make us not fear God anymore, to make ourselves open like we are to little ones. And by doing this, he is teaching us a great lesson. He is teaching us not only to love the children of the world, but to love the small things of this world, the weak things of this world, and that includes the poor and the sick as well. And this same Christ child will grow up later and teach the world. He will sum up the whole law and the prophets in two sentences. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. By becoming small, God is no longer distant from us. He no longer is unknown. He has become a gift for us. He has given himself unto us. And in this season of giving, we need to be touched by this fact that God is the Lord and has given himself to us. St. Gregory of Nyssa points this out when he says, the eternal God has come into our time. The Son of God has become the Son of Mary. And he has done this in order, as one of the hymns we sing says, in order to restore the image for which we were created in the beginning. To restore his image in us. Truly, as St. Athanasius says, God became man so that man might become God. My brothers and sisters, it is good for us to remember how far away God seemed to man before the birth of Christ. So far away, so incomprehensible that we quake in fear at the thought of his glory. And that was a good thing. It was a good thing for us to fear God and to fear his glory. But he also wants us to embrace him like we embrace a small child. He became short, as Isaiah said. He became small. He became an infant for us. He humbled himself, as St. Paul says, and became and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He humbled himself so he could teach us to become humble as well. And he continues to humble himself to this day, becoming even more humble than becoming man. He's going to humble himself in a little while and become bread and wine on our altar. That's even more humbling than becoming man. He humbles himself for us so that we can consume him just like the animals normally consume the food in a manger trough. He came and was laid in a dish almost, in a dish that the cows and cattle eat their food from. And today he will come to us and lay himself on a dish, the discos of our altar. He will make himself small. He will humble himself so that we can consume him. We can consume him, and as St. John Chrysostom says in his prayer, so that we can consume him, and he will enter into our veins, our muscles, and our bones. He will fully encompass us when we receive him in Holy Communion. And that was his will all along, to become completely one with us, to become lowly so that he could raise us up from glory to glory. But first he had to become a child. First he had to become a child. He had to become small so that we would not fear him. He had to become small so that we could come near to him. So my brothers and sisters today, let us come near to him with the fear of God. Fear of God, yes. But let that fear be tempered with faith and love, as we say, as we bring the chalice out. Let us draw near with faith and love, and let us cry out truly, God is the Lord and has revealed himself to us. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord and has revealed himself to us. My brothers and sisters, Christ is born.
Glory to God.